Good afternoon. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show, coming at you from the Green Thing Socolo Village Studio. I'm Dan Shear, editor of the Green Valley News and the Sahuadita Sun. It's Monday, October 21. Happy birthday to my brother, John. Bill's still enjoying some time off, and it's well-deserved. John Couch in the control room. John, wasn't this an incredible weekend? The hands are waving, and he says, no, because the heat is back. Okay, at least for a short time, but we're heading to winter, which means, you know, well, at least a little bit better than it was in July. So the show is live Monday through Friday at noon. You can check out Bill's archive of shows or the live stream at buckmastershow.com. Our first Monday one-on-one guest is a U.S. Postal Inspector. We're going to be talking about fraud aimed at the elderly and really all of us, and how to stop it, how to prevent it. At the bottom of the hour, we're going to be welcoming back our friends from Casa de los Niños and the far-reaching and impressive work that they are doing for families here in the Tucson area. How about joining the conversation? If you have a question or comment, you can reach us at 520-790-2040. That's the Buckmaster Show live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. The Monday one-on-one is presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, as always, family-owned and run since 1985, specializing in custom-framed mirrors, wall art, picture framing, just about anything you could need. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge, and you can find them at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. I'd like to welcome to the show Dan Grossenbach. He is a U.S. Postal Inspector. That means you're a federal agent.
That's right. Hey, how are you doing, Dan?
Very good. Hey, give us a little bit of background on who you are and what your job is.
Sure. So for the last, almost 21 years, I've been a United States Postal Inspector. Something I always wanted to do to some extent. I wanted to be an investigator. I wanted to be a detective. I wanted to go out and get bad guys ever since I was a little kid. I also wanted to go out to California, so I made my dream come true and started my job out there back in 2004 in Los Angeles. My territory was the Orange County area and part of Los Angeles. And postal inspectors do anything that is criminal related to the mail. They also protect and safeguard the post office, the postal service, its employees and property. So we were kind of like the corporate security, but we're also agents carrying guns and badges and going and making arrests. So that's what brings me here today.
Okay, so we're going to get into just like what the bulk of the calls are, but my wife and I had a check stolen out of our mailbox 20 years ago. We contacted the police, made a report, figured we'd need to get that done. Should we instead have gone to the U.S. Postal Inspection Service?
Well, no, that's what most people do, is call the police when there's a crime. So okay, there's nothing wrong with that at all. In fact, the police carry the burden of crimes, all kinds of crimes under the sun. So when it comes to something relating to the mail, they're very quick to call in our support. So whether it's the Pima County Sheriff's Department, Tucson Police Department, Oro Valley, they know that we're there to help. So they'll unload those cases on us.
Okay, so it eventually will make it to you then.
Yeah, you can even you can even call your local post office, tell your letter carrier, that gets it to us.
Okay,
but report it to somebody either in the post office or the police, or call us directly and we'll.
Okay, so we interviewed you about 5 years ago at our newspaper, and at that time, the number one problem that you dealt with, your agency dealt with, was mail theft. Then it was mailed drugs, then assaults and threats against postal employees, which really surprised me. First of all, are those still in the same order?
Well, it's really hard to rank them. That may have been speaking on my own experience, because at our headquarters, depending on who's in charge of the agency at the time, what kind of priorities we have, and what kind of resources we have, those shift a little bit. But yeah, here in Tucson, we're mainly committed to safeguarding the mail from theft, from the use of drug trafficking, and to protect our employees. I think those are major key issues. There's other things that fall under us, dangerous threats in the mail, something that's a substance that shouldn't be mailed, whether it's just by accident or by design, if somebody's trying to hurt somebody. So those are things that we respond to on as they come up kind of basis. We're also kind of driven by the prosecution. So if the local prosecutor's office are prioritizing certain crimes, that's gonna direct us too in what we are looking at. And of course, right now, everybody's talking about fentanyl and how that is so deadly.
Sure.
And that's a problem across the board. And if the mail's being used for that, that is something that the prosecutors are very quick to take our cases on.
Well, somebody asked me to ask you this question. That's my way of distancing myself from the actual question, but I am kind of curious about the answer. If somebody sends somebody they don't like a white powder in the mail to scare them, and it's not an illegal substance, it's not anthrax, is that illegal?
Oh, yeah, yeah. If
why?
It's a hoax.
It's a hoax.
It's intended to cause harm. There's a statute in there. And as I'm speaking, I'll put the disclaimer out there that I'm not a prosecutor, I'm not a lawyer, but sure. I have worked these cases where there's a hoax. So if it's a bomb of some kind or something that's designed to hurt and it doesn't have all the components, it could still be charged for a felony for trying to cause that duress. So same thing for if it's a white powder. A lot of times now, so much time has gone by since 2001 when that yeah. happened that a lot of people may not even – that may not be fresh on their minds, but for those that it ought, is, they ought not do it, or you'll be in prison.
Okay, another weird case we've had. I've been at the Green Valley News for almost 16 years, and we have had at least three cases of this where people have sent grenades through the mail. Mm. Now, a lot of them were, World War II mm-hmm. era, they were fake or they were mm-hmm. inert or whatever. Are you allowed to do that?
There's some exceptions for munitions and firearms if they are collectibles, so they obviously have to be inert. No gunpowder, anything explosives in there, but there's some exceptions for collectibles like that. But it is pretty strict for any functioning firearm with all its components or any sort of explosive device, even without the munitions. So without having the procedures and the regulations in front of me, I would say play it safe and only mail if it's a collectible with no explosives inside.
So there's not a process that you could just mail a regular handgun to somebody that is not a collectible.
Yeah, if it isn't a collectible, then it has to be, I think, an FFO. It has to be an actual dealer. Or
okay.
Maybe FFL. I'm sorry if I'm messing up the acronym there. But there's certain procedures for that. And you can just ask the window clerk at the post office. They may call me, and then I look it up.
Right. Okay. Okay. So somebody's wants to get fentanyl from point A to point B, and they just pack it up and send it through FedEx. How would you catch that?
Yeah, there's lots of different ways, things that we look for. There's, if it's a lot of times these drug dealers try to keep it really concealed. And through years of working these cases, we've fine-tuned ways of tracking how they do it. If I were to lay it all out, then you would probably be the best drug dealer in town because uh-huh. you'd know exactly how to evade our criteria. But I can tell you that there's a tested and true way to do it because on a daily basis we get them and that it's an active kind of crime that we have been having really good success with prosecuting.
There are thousands and thousands, maybe millions of packages every day that go through the U.S. Postal Service, though. I don't know how you would know some. Do you sometimes by geographic area know where stuff might be more likely to come out of?
Well, there's inspectors in every major city and in all states, and so they're actively out there looking for interdicting parcels just spontaneously. But then there's also things that we look for where intelligence comes in, and there's active cases that we have information about parcels that we can go seek out. So it's kind of both of those. There's two different ways to just go out there with to cast the net and look for them, or specifically targeted based on intelligence that we get.
Then let's go back to what I mentioned on those lists of the most common cases. A lot of assaults and threats against postal employees, and I guess I'm just not understanding why they would get any more or less than somebody at works at the grocery store.
And I didn't 20 years ago before I got this job okay. either. Until I realized that the postal employee is a little unique because maybe the grocery store sees everybody, but the post office goes to everybody's door. They're out there, and they're going to see every single person in society. And unfortunately, society has some unstable people, and the post office is going to find those people. And it could be as something as a dog coming after the carrier, and the dog acts in a defensive – the carrier acts in a defensive way, and then the person gets upset about their dog. That could be something that happens, and then they get into it, or this person says something that they didn't mean. I was waiting for my check. I'm really upset. I have no money, and where is my check? Or if you don't bring my check, I'm going to – they say something they don't mean. Our job is to go out there and find out what they did mean.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. And then a good chunk of those have to occur at actually post offices themselves, buildings.
Or out in somebody's front yard because, mm-hmm. like I said, the carriers are out there and they're permeating society. You do have angry people coming into the post office sometimes, not all the time, but when they do, when they cross that line, if they've been trespassed, they've been asked to leave, they don't, and they're obstructing business, or they otherwise created a threat or some crossed the criminal line, that's when we come down and help.
Okay, and you mentioned that major cities have a hub. How many agents do we have in the Tucson area?
Here we've got six.
We've got
six, including our supervisor, and that's southern Arizona, so basically a little south of Casa Grande all the way down to the border.
Oh, wow.
And then in Phoenix we have our division headquarters and more.
And they take all the way to the top of the state?
That's right, yeah.
Wow. Okay, so you're on the road on occasion.
Yeah, it's a big area to cover.
Yeah, no kidding. So, okay, very good. This portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. You can find Mona's on the northeastern corner of Swan and Sunrise. Mona's is open Tuesday through Sunday for breakfast and lunch. Treat yourself to their one-of-a-kind pastries, including that famous Danish Kringle, which I'm still trying to get Mayor Tom Murphy to bring one of these stores down to Sahuarita. It would do great business. Mona's Danish Bakery.com, or you can go to buckmastershow.com for a link to Mona's Danish Bakery. You're listening to the Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Thing Socolo Village Studio. I'm your host, Dan Shear. Our live line is made possible by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We'll be right back.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
On average, the Regional Transportation Authority annually contributes over $100 million to regional transportation improvements to supplement limited federal and state funds. This critical funding source provides funding for nearly two-thirds of our region's needed transportation improvements through its 2006 voter-approved half-cent sales tax. To receive updates on a new 20-year plan in development, visit rtanext.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
Welcome back to the Monday One-on-One presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com, and you can find them on Facebook. I'm Dan Shear, editor of the Green Valley News, Sahuarita Sun, and we are giving Bill the rest of the week off. You've joined us in the middle of the Monday One-on-One interview with U.S. Postal Inspector Dan Grossenbach. Dan, you say there are six agents, not just in Tucson, they're covering all of southern Arizona. And that is that's a busy team, at the very least. I have earlier this year I served on a grand jury. I've talked about it on the air, and we did many child pornography cases. I know that this also comes through the mail, and that is illegal. Obviously, it's a legal function or use of the Postal Service. How do you catch that?
Well, yes, there's only six of us here, but we work really closely and wouldn't be able to do nearly what we do if we didn't lean on our local and federal partners. I had a desk at the FBI for a while, worked with them, and they helped me, and I helped them. When it comes to child exploitation cases, like you mentioned, there's Homeland Security investigations often takes lead on that. FBI also does. Local police also do. And yes, sometimes, I mean, the mail is a trusted place, and sometimes that is put in the mail. And a lot of enforcement can be activated by shutting down these porn sites with a click of a button. So sometimes to avoid that, could use other older means, and that might be using the mail. So when they do, we are actively involved in those cases. I've personally been involved in arrests and interviews and operations involving child exploitation, one of the worst crimes that touches the mail. And so it is a program that we take really seriously. We have, I think, a partnership with the National Center of Missing and Exploited Children in Washington, D.C., and there's headquarters folks that support that program, and it's something that really, I think, does a lot of good.
And then really one of the key reasons I wanted to have you on the show was to target elder fraud, and you and I met last week, and a lot of it is prevention. People just got to defend themselves against it. But what are we seeing in terms of what is coming through the U.S. Postal Service targeting our elderly folks?
Well, people have gotten so accustomed to ignoring emails, ignoring spam emails and phone calls. And a lot of times people will respect a letter in the mail, a solicitation, because it's used by government agencies. It's used by businesses that we do business with or individuals. So when you get a letter, you're more likely to look at it. So it's used as to exploit that trust. It's also used when somebody is defrauded. Maybe they do catch on to one of those emails or those phone calls, and then they respond by sending an overnight mail. Usually it's something they're pressuring you to act quickly. It's an express mail. It's the most expensive service that we offer at the post office, and it gets there the next day by 9 a.m. in most cases, or by noon. And that is designed to be able to speed up the payment. They're going to ask for cash or a check in that express mail envelope, and they're going to ask you to send that off so that it can get in the bad guy's hands before law enforcement would be able to act, or before the victim realizes what had happened. So that's typically how the mail works, either on the front end of soliciting or on trafficking of proceeds.
And what you just mentioned is one of the hallmarks of fraud, and that is that sense of urgency.
Absolutely.
We need to get this just done right now.
Always. Yeah.
And so these folks are going to use the same logos as legitimate businesses. They're going to do everything that you're seeing in your email. It's going to come through the Postal Service.
That's right.
And so, and why can't we not track this letter back and get the bad guys?
Well, a lot of times we can. Unfortunately, they layer it. These are expert criminals who defraud people. So if there's anybody out here listening that says, oh, I've been defrauded, well, don't feel foolish, because it's always intelligent people who've got a lifetime of savings to lose that are the victims in these cases. Mm-hmm. And we can do some tracing. When it's something dangerous, hazardous, fraudulent in the mail, we can work to trace that. That's what we do.
So the age-old question, how can older people avoid this?
Well, if you just take a second and don't be rushed like they're asking you to.
Right.
Whenever somebody calls you that you don't know, or when you get a letter from somebody you don't know, always put your guard up and have your radar going, because you owe nobody anything unless you know them personally and you can trust them.
Right.
They'll make it seem like they're trustworthy. They're going to make it seem like it's very urgent. They're going to pull at your heartstrings, or they're going to make you afraid. They're going to play on your emotions. When you see that happening, when you feel your heart racing, then just stop. And what I like to say is phone a friend.
Yes.
Remember the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire show? Phoning a friend is so... Yeah, your lifeline. Call in a lifeline. That's right. Because somebody else, they may not have all the answers, but they are going to have a different perspective.
Then they're going to just calm you down and back you off from the situation. And, when you and I talked last week, I mentioned to you that Green Valley, a retirement community, Everybody is from someplace else, and a lot of these people do not have their family around to call or to who are available or whatever. And then a lot of them get to the point where, frankly, they're slipping. You know, mentally, they're just not as sharp as they once were. They are, I'm telling you, man, they are easily picked off by these types of people.
Well, even I would be. I mean, I sure. do foolish things all the time, and my wife says, why'd you do that? And she'll keep me in check, you know, just by being another human being that's there with a different perspective. So just imagine if you, as you're aging, there's things that happen to our brain. We're from a different generation. You know, if you're, we're older, that we're more trusting. We're not used to some of the new technology. So we're right. But it's not just the older people. I've seen studies where the millennials will trust the internet before they trust their own parents. So just imagine when they get older, they're already trusting the internet.
Well, and then again, another basic rule is that if you want to check on the legitimacy of a letter, don't call or contact anybody listed in the letter, a phone number or whatever. No.
That's it. That's
be
it.
Fact
right.
Too.
Yeah, because they're giving you that number to the scammer.
Yeah, absolutely fake. And they've got there's just these huge like calling centers, man, that are just incredible.
They're professional.
And they're making billions every year. So I'm going to throw a curveball.
Sure.
Because it's tis the season. You cannot perpetuate fraud through the mail. Yet we're at the time where every single day my mailbox is stuffed with these election-related flyers that are flat-out lies or deceptions. I survey these things because this is how I'm built. I would bet well over 90% have some sort of whopper in them. Mm. Isn't this fraud?
You would think so, wouldn't you?
It
you
is know? Fraud.
Yeah, and especially when you see contradictory things, right, from different sides.
Sure.
Well, you know, there's all sorts of things that I've seen in the mail, postcards or things that are written on there that look just crazy, you know, things that you wouldn't believe. but I'll tell you, when it comes to fraud, your question was, isn't a lie fraud? There's two pieces in this recipe to meet the fraud statute. And it has to be, number one, yes, a lie. And number two, it has to be a solicitation for something of value, namely money or something equal to value.
Your vote isn't valuable?
Well, yeah, make the argument, you know, that maybe there's a prosecutor out there that will take our case. So
there we go. Well, I'm willing to do it. We are actually going to go to the live line right now. Paul, you on?
Yeah. I have a question. I have a personal mailbox, and I am a retired senior, but I have quite a few investments around the country, and quite often I get letters from people that I don't know that I have to sign for the letter. It's certified or whatever it's called, and I don't know where to sign for these things from people I don't know. Do I have to sign that, or if I don't sign it, what happens?
Well, the certified mail, and I do it all the time when I really want to reach a victim and I want to make sure they get the letter. All that does is just confirm that it was delivered, and it shows the signature when you look up the tracking history of that of the person who signed for it. So it's not going to be committing you to any contract or any agreement. All it does is show that that piece of mail that was sent was delivered. So what I would be on the lookout for is if you said it's from people that you don't know and you've got these investments, if they're ever soliciting for money, my advice is ignore it. When you're looking for it to do a deal, you can look for your own deal. When they're soliciting you, and a lot of people, it's the people with money, people that have investments like you are going to be getting those solicitations. And there's a list. I've seen these lists for anybody over 65, your average net worth, your income, your phone number, they sell these lists. So you're on a list out there, Paul. Unfortunately, anybody over 65 is going to be on this list. And so you got to keep your guard up.
But there is a sense that if you are signing for a letter, gosh, this must really be the real deal. And you're going to lend it more legitimacy and open it and whatever. Do we find that some fraudsters are doing that?
That's why we think they're using the mail, is for that air of legitimacy. And so using a certified letter would add a little bit more to it. To be honest, in my cases, I don't see that too often, because to do a certified letter, you have to engage a little bit more with the post office.
Sure.
You know, it's going to give up who you are, unless you're using a victim as a mule of some kind, which happens as well.
Okay. Another question somebody wanted me to ask you, that neighborhoods are being built now, and it seems like they all are getting these cluster mailboxes. And are those more likely to get hit by thieves than a mailbox in front of your house?
the kind of theft we're talking about is an opportunity crime. The same kind of people, when we're out on surveillance on a mail theft case, we'll see people checking door handles. They're just looking to steal things. So the harder you can make that target, if it's a lock versus a curbside, you just want to up that amount of protection. I will tell you, though, that when our mail's out there, we don't want it to sit there wherever it is. We want to get it as fast as we can. So,
okay,
you know, as far as prevention tips for the public out there, get your mail. Don't let it sit there. If you're going on vacation, you can do a vacation hold. You can change your address temporarily, all for free, just to not let your mail sit there. So wherever your mail is, the safest place is in your hands.
Okay. Well, Dan Grossenbach, boy, could have gone a whole hour on this. Got some great stuff. I know Bill will want you back on the air. This is good stuff for our folks. Just a reminder that our Monday one-on-one is presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. And you can find them on Facebook. This is the Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Thing Socolo Village Studio. When we come back, we're going to be joined by a couple of friends over at Casa de los Niños. You can reach us, remember, on our live line, made possible by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. That's 520-790-2040. We'll be right back for the rest of the Monday one-on-one.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The News and Sun's media reach 75% of the region through newspapers, websites, social media, video, newsletters, and more. They also produce more than a dozen print and digital magazines annually for an audience of 70,000. Find them at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, covering your hometown.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The extraordinary beauty and craftsmanship of Mexican artisans is yours at Clay and Cloth in Barrio Viejo, featuring gorgeous clay pottery sourced from southern Mexico, including Oaxaca, Puebla, Merida, and Hidalgo. Also discover amazing textiles you won't find anywhere else in Tucson. Clay and Cloth also has an incredible selection of new Dia de los Muertos merchandise. See the selection on Instagram at Mad Max the Dog Shop and visit Clay and Cloth. Open Tuesday through Saturday from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. at 310 South Convent, just south of Cushing.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Dan Scheer with the Green Valley News and the Sabadita Sun, sitting in for a vacationing Bill Buckmaster. He'll be back soon. If you're looking to get out of town for a while and you're looking for a great vacation spot, our friends over in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, would love to host you just 3 hours east of Tucson. There's a lot to do in Silver City and Grant County, including hiking in the Gila National Wilderness, visiting the Cliff Dwellings National Monument, a whole lot more. Learn everything you need to know at southwestnewmexico.org. We are now going to welcome Faven Gebremariam and Dr. Jennifer Key. It's a pleasure to have you on the show. They are from Casa de los Niños.
Thank you. It's exciting to be back.
Very good. Yes, I had you on in May after I had toured the location there off of Speedway, and I was blown away and still am. I've kept up with what's going on there and just love it. Faven holds an MBA and is Vice President of Development and Public Relations, and Dr. Jen is a Behavioral Health Clinical Director. So we have it kind of come from both sides here. Casa de los Niños is 50 and turns 51 next month.
That's right.
That is huge. The doors opened in 1973. That is a long run, as we say. So you must be meeting some needs.
Yeah, I think, first of all, thanks for having us back. Sure. It's nice to be back with you. I think one of the coolest things about our organization is its ability to pivot. 1973, Sister Kathleen had a vision, and that vision was executed and recognized for many, many years. And the organization has evolved alongside the community, paying close attention to what the community needs and how families and structures are shifting. And we've been able to react in a way that allows us to continue to serve our community, not necessarily exactly what Sister Kathleen opened up in 1973, but still with children and families at the forefront.
Dr. Jen, I happen to remember 1973, and I'm going to give it a dope slap here because back then, frankly, we weren't really advanced in recognizing trauma and actually getting involved to help families. Or I still recall it very clearly. There's a very different mindset back there.
Yes.
So you launch an organization with that mindset, that number one had to be a huge hurdle to get over.
Yes, we really try to support our families, and looking at it from that system point of view is that we can't create change in a child or a child's behavior unless we're changing that whole family structure. So making sure that the parents have the information that they need to support them. So we have a trauma-informed caregiver group that we run several times a year. It's on a Saturday so that working parents can attend. We've also launched a new parent support group that runs several times during the week after work hours just to support parents so that they can help understand what is going on for their child and their child's mental health diagnosis to be able to help them navigate that too.
Right. Yeah. Faven, I noticed on the tour again and other things I have read since that very culturally sensitive, because not everybody thinks about things like you, the listener at home, might. Some things that we think are just cut and dried. For instance, let's just take domestic abuse.
Yeah.
It happens all the time, but some people just clam up about it.
Sure.
How do you deal with things culturally to get people to the spot where they need to be?
This is such a big question, but I think one of the things we're trying to do between Jen and myself and the leadership team is really remind people that it's okay to seek and ask for help when things are not going well. It's very, very, very normal to seek help when it's needed. And I think culturally, that's not necessarily everyone's experience, right? I think we know people or belong in families that you know, if somebody did get hit or somebody was yelled at, that was just sort of normal. And so part of our messaging now in this new iteration and new leadership is that actually we can help you get through that. We, you know, prevention, early prevention can help avoid a lot of the trauma that Jen and her team see every single day, and it's okay. And we encourage people to reach out, even if they're unsure if the thing that they're experiencing is trauma based, or if it's going to result in you know, some sort of, you know, separation from their families. You know, there's a lot of fear in that, but we try to remind people that we're here and we're a resource.
And I think the again, another thing that came through for me is that you're not getting anywhere if you haven't built trust.
Yeah.
And trust takes time.
Yeah, 51 years, actually.
I tell you, and as you say, you go back to 1973 and the problems were very, well, in a sense, you know, the same, but the way we approached them are very different.
Well, reactive,
so,
right?
Sure.
So, like,
yeah, good word.
We had a place where people could come after the scary thing happened, and now we have a facility where we provide services. Before the trauma, during the trauma, after the trauma, right? It becomes this more holistic experience. But we do have the trust of the community in Tucson because we've been around for 50 years and they've seen the changes and the evolution, and so many families have been impacted in such a positive way by Casa de los Niños.
You do a lot of things, so it's going to cost a lot of money.
Yeah.
How do you get your money?
Well, that's our job on our on the side of the house, and we have a few different ways that we get money. We are supported through the state, both locally and, again, at the state level, county level, and state level. We have partnerships based on referrals, but we also have a really generous donor base. So if people are wanting to give back during this holiday season, there's a lot of ways to do that at Casa de los Niños. We can help with estate planning, and we can help with, you know, in-kind donations if people want to host drives or if people want to come to the facility and check us out. Actually, we do have another grad tour coming up. That was the event that you attended. So this next one is actually Saturday, November 9th, trying something just a little bit different and doing it on a weekend in the morning to see if that's easier for folks to get to. But, you know, there's a myriad of ways that people can come experience. And I think once you experience the campus and what we've got to offer, it makes donating just a little bit easier.
If people want to be on that tour, what do they do?
They can go to CasaDeLosNiños.org, and there is an event button at the top of our website where they can register for the event that just went live last week.
Okay. Dr. Jen, we said you cost a lot, but it occurred to me that you have to be saving the county, the city, the community in general, an awful lot of money. But how do you know how much? How do you present that to people, you know?
So it's really investing in early intervention and prevention programs for mental illness, addiction. And we know that these savings can translate into dollars, up mm-hmm. to $10 for each single dollar invested.
Wow.
So health plans are investing in prevention and treatment because we know that it's going to reduce criminal activity. We know it's going to reduce emergency room visits. That return on investments for those healthcare providers, it's worthwhile for them to invest in these programs. There's also a huge links between mental health and physical health conditions. So we know that if we treat the mental health, that there will be improvement on the physical side as well.
Very good. So, we have something down in Green Valley called Sheriff's Auxiliary Volunteers, and everything is volunteer. They save hundreds of thousands of dollars a year by what they do. You're doing the same thing, and it's a really important message, as you said, with intervention and other ways that, you know, there's one more person not getting involved with the law or mm-hmm. needing rehab or whatever. I just think that is such an important point to a community that, you know, wants to hear some good news.
Yeah, yes.
So,
okay, we're going to get into a few more other things here, but right now we're going to take a quick break. This is the Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Thing Socolo Village Studio with our guests from Casa de los Niños. Please join us on the live line, made possible by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We'll be right back.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
In 2006, Pima County voters approved the Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year Regional Transportation Plan and half-cent sales tax. They are both effective through June 30th, 2026. For the region to receive continued funding for another 20 years, the RTA is developing a new plan and tax extension for voter consideration. Public input will be key. To receive updates on a new 20-year plan in development, visit rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
And welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Since 1970, Green Things has been the go-to place for your gardening needs. Green Things is on a beautiful 13-acre site that is also home to Socolo Village and all of their fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things on River Road, just west of Brandy Fenton Park, and on the web at greenthingsaz.com and socolovillage.com. We're heading into our final segment talking about Casa de los Niños. And Dr. Jen, tell us about the Kelly Early Education.
Yes, our Kelly Early Education Center is a great place to send your child to get them prepared for school. We are going to, Behavioral Health is going to be in Kelly providing an extra support for social and emotional growth for our little ones as they learn to control their behaviors. We have it's a DINA school, and so we're going to be doing a pilot with 10 of our kids from that school, and we're going to pull them into the DINA classroom and give them some extra tools and get them ready for kindergarten.
Okay, very good. And Faven, we have more news on that. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, the Kelly Early Education Center is a really special place, located on campus, right in Midtown, and it's an education-based school for children from 6 weeks old to 5 years old, and it's a 4-star quality first things first accredited education center, which is really a wonderful. Kudos to the teachers and the staff that work there. The children from 6 weeks old, believe it or not, are learning science and technology, from colors to gravity to, you know, Everything in between music and art and yoga. And there's currently spaces available. So if people and families are looking for an education-based place for their children, give us a call and come take a tour and check it out and see if it's right for you.
I cannot imagine a child being raised without being surrounded by books. And
that's what they do.
And I tell you, it starts like in the womb, because you really just got to just have that attitude that you're going to surround it with that education and creation, and makes for great kids.
But the unfortunate part about that, I agree with you completely, is it's just not accessible to a lot of
people.
And so the Kelly Early Education Center on the Casa de los Niños campus does make it accessible for the majority of families in town, and we prioritize families who are living below the poverty line, and so we don't want people to think that it's out of the scope of possibility for them. We want you to call and see if it's the right fit for you and your kiddo.
Very good. Two areas that I really wanted to make sure we hit on today. First is foster parenting, and this idea that I guess I'd never thought it through, but the foster parents deal with the biological families at times.
Yeah, sometimes, yeah. So one of the programs that we have at Casa de los Niños is indeed a foster care programming. So if you're interested in learning more about becoming a foster care parent, what it all entails and what that looks like, and if it would be right for you and your family, please don't hesitate to reach out to us. You can also go to CasaDeLosNiños.org, and there's a whole section of our website devoted to foster care. But yes, certainly. I mean, depending on the situation, foster families have to navigate biological families, which sometimes can be beautiful, but mm-hmm. it's not always easy. And we have resources on campus that include parenting classes, and that can be for biological parents, or it can be for foster or kinship families who want to learn more about how to better support the children in their lives, be them biological or foster. But, you know, it's a dance between emotion and safety and stability. And we have the right people at Casa de los Niños to help families get through that process.
And the fostering can start as young as right after birth.
Yeah, the day of.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then all the way to 18.
Yeah. Yeah. And it depends. There's a lot of different factors, but it depends on the family situation. And again, foster family situation, but also biological family situation, the reason for the foster in the first place. But like I said, we've got some tremendous people on our staff that can help folks understand that a little bit more in detail.
I know people don't go into foster parenting for the money, but there is some help for them.
Yeah, it's definitely, there's some. but most families go into foster situations because there's no alternative, or because they've done it before and they know how life-changing it can be for a family and for a kiddo. Mm-hmm. And we're always looking for new foster families. And so we can walk through some of that, what that support looks like, financial support, but also resource-based support that we provide our families at Casa de los Niños.
Dr. Jen, Faven mentioned parenting classes. There's just got to be just a whole gamut of those. Are some of those court-ordered?
We do have some that are court-ordered that are provided through the family support side of the house,
okay.
And we do offer those in English and in Spanish, in person and over Zoom. We have a lot of different options for those.
Give us an example of different types of parenting classes.
So currently we have parenting support in the behavioral health side. So we have our trauma-informed caregiver group along with parenting support. And then on Joanne's side, we have
like parenting through bullying. So helping parents understand what children are going through today when it comes to bullying, or parenting without violence. So parents who had experienced violence in their own homes, how do they not continue that cycle? How do they not continue that perpetration of that when they become parents themselves? And I think there's so many different classes. We've got all these different, like Jen said, all these different hybrid classes and both Spanish and in English on campus and virtually. So you don't actually even have to live in Arizona to access some of our parenting classes. People join from all over the country to glean this information. And we have one of the best parent education trainers in the state who works for Casa de los Niños. And her name is Carol, and she's always willing to answer questions and take phone calls and guide people to the right classes for them. But there's a list of classes that, that people can take, and they're free. These are all free classes for anyone who wants to, you know, try and be a better parent.
Okay. Dr. Jen, you have partnerships with local school districts. What's the connection? What does that look like?
Yes, we're in several different schools, and what that looks like is we have a representative from that school who helps to navigate referrals between the school district and Casa de los Niños Behavioral Health Services. And so we are able to go into these schools, provide skills for the youth to help them, whether it's peer interactions or other social emotional behaviors that are occurring in the school, and help them reduce and get some positive coping skills.
A lot of people driving by on Speedway are going to see a couple of homes on the campus.
Yeah.
Faven, what goes on in those homes?
Those are really special. Those are our historic casitas, and there are two of them. Like you said, they're right on Speedway in between 4th Avenue and 5th Avenue. And they are reserved exclusively for our supervised visitation clients. Supervised visitation is a court-mandated experience where families are separated either by the Arizona Family Court or by DCS. And we are the only organization in the county, maybe even in the state, who provides those reunification opportunities in a home-like setting. So they look like homes on the outside, and they look like homes on the inside.
Mm-hmm, sure
there are bedrooms, and there's kitchens, and there's a living room. And for a lot of our families, it's the first time they've been together in a home for a really long time. They can cook a meal together. They can watch a movie together. And it becomes this... We try to infuse the humanity back in a really mm-hmm. yucky situation. They've been separated for a myriad of reasons, and to be able to come back together in a home allows the kiddo to go to school the next day and say, "Oh, I got to watch a movie with my mom. We got to, you know, make tacos with my dad and play in the backyard," as opposed to the other supervised visitation locations in town. Our federal buildings, and they're, you know, under fluorescent lights, and there's a stranger in the corner watching you interact with your children. And
right.
And so we like to think about our campus as being a home for families to reunify in that way.
And when you get to the, when you walk into the doors of those houses, I said it before, you get it.
Yeah.
You get, okay, now I know why it's looks like this.
Yeah.
Like that's a normal looking couch and a yeah. lamp and a whatever,
yeah.
games in the corner, whatever.
Yeah.
Very important. We just have about a minute left here. I'm assuming that you put a big premium on getting the right people in the right jobs and that they all mesh.
Yeah.
But who takes care of the staff? You are dealing with rough stuff every day.
Yeah. You know, it is emotional work. It's hard work. It's scary work. And all of our staff is committed to the families and the clients. We take care of each other, but we do have a really wonderful leadership team that understands that, you know, a work-life balance is necessary to be able to do the work that we do. Certainly the people on Dr. Jen's team and the family service side of the house that are direct contact with our clients and are dealing with really hard and emotional things. We try to take care of each other, but I think as an organization, our HR team has done a really nice job with the different resources that we provide for staff and the different opportunities we provide to commune with each other, you know, at work.
Excellent. We want to remind people that there's a tour on November 9th. Mm-hmm. Go on to casadelosninos.org
mm-hmm.
and you can sign up for that. Is terrific. Our thanks to you, Faven and Jennifer. The time goes by way too quickly.
Agreed.
So we have told listeners where they can get more information on Casa de los Niños. You absolutely do terrific work. Thank you so much, Dan.
So, we appreciate you.
On behalf of the team here at the Buckmaster Show, and especially my friend John Couch, managing things from the control room, and producer Rosemary Brandt, you have a great rest of your Monday.
Tucson's only live local news and talk. KVOI Cortero, 1030 The Voice, a Bustos media station. Online at KVOI.com.